Sim. Morning.
Good morning, Deb.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. We are recording and we've got a couple people who are here by phone. I see a couple of phone numbers and
okay.
Good morning, Chandra. Good morning. How are you all today?
Fine, how are you?
I am well, thank you.
I'm glad that we can all hear each other because I'm a little nervous.
I understand. Lynn?
Yeah.
Whoever has the different phone numbers, we can ask them and rename them.
Well, if they've called in, can they actually change that, or can they just tell us who they are and their agency affiliation?
They can tell us who they are, but you have the ability to actually type in who they are. So if you go to the top where it says rename,
okay,
on their icon with the three little dots.
Yeah, well, okay. I was looking for, I'm going to put the board packet into the link to the board packet in here in case anyone doesn't have it. Okay, so that is.
One of them is Vicky. Can you guys hear me?
That must be you. Are you at the office, Vicky?
Yes.
Okay, I recognize that.
And I think Annette is one of them.
She's actually.
I see her name.
I can you guys hear me?
We do have Annette.
Sorry, so I. I can't get my speaker to work on my computer, so I had to dial in by phone.
So you are the 398 person?
That is my guess, yes.
Okay. So there we have you in two places there. Thank you so much. That's good. We're asking for folks to, if you have access to the chat, which some people won't, to enter your name and agency affiliation in the chat, just like you would be signing in to the board meeting, because the chat also becomes a recording that's part of the permanent document of the meeting. So that would be very helpful to us if you can do that. And I'm going to post the... What's that?
Sorry, I said hi.
So I'm posting a link to the board packet in the chat area, just in case anybody doesn't have that with them. And then
I don't know how to add to the chat.
Well, you know what? I'll do it because I know you're there.
I just tried, but
I gotcha. And then,
I don't see it.
Well, I just added it right under the link. It's unfortunately, they're like, the link and then you and Annette.
Okay, yes. Thank you.
Hi, can you hear me? Okay.
Hi, yes.
So Julie, if you wouldn't mind, there is a little instruction at the top of the chat. The meeting is being recorded. This part is also being recorded. And we're just asking folks to sign in using the chat area, so that also becomes a permanent document of the meeting.
Okay. I am so foreign to this, so you have to.
You know what? I can do it for you.
Okay.
There is a link in the chat to the board packet. You might already have that, but it's there in case people need it. CU Autism Network, right? I'm not dreaming. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. Well, so far, so good.
And Lynn, I have the agenda in the board packet, and I can share that to my screen on the screen so that people can have access to that.
So Deb, what we were thinking about doing today, and this is also for the record, is to ask people to use the raise hand function.
Okay.
Then so that if they do that, we don't miss them during public participation or during agency input. And then
where is the raise hand icon? Is there an icon for it?
Yes, there is. If you go to the participants.
Okay.
And where you see under your name, where it says, click on the bottom where it says participants.
Yeah, I got that. I have a list of participants there.
Okay, on the bottom it says invite, mute me, raise hand.
Raise hand, okay, great.
Yep,
great.
That's how you raise your hand and lower your hand.
So if people raise their hands, Chandra is gonna be monitoring for raised hands, just so that we don't miss anybody. The other time that we would be looking for raised hands is anytime you, Deb, direct us to. Since in case you wanna have some agency input or audience input at any other time, you let us know and then people should use the raised hand function so that Chandra won't miss them.
Is there a way for me, on the record to just state that people should just raise their hand when they, if there's a little bit of discussion amongst board members, I'm very happy personally myself to have people jump in.
Okay.
Rather than having to do a more formal process. Is that doable?
What you just said as the chair of the meeting is perfect. Well, you get to decide that. Okay.
And then the second thing I'd like to do is unmute all board members and all staff members, if possible.
Oh, see, I muted it, man.
Can we do that?
Usually, I'm
the one who tends to butt in because I don't have very good peripheral vision at meetings, and so I tend to sometimes speak out of turn myself. But my fellow board members seem very, very good at kind of watching who's speaking, and so does the staff and the attendees for that matter. So I think it'd be easier if they're all allowed to just jump in when they see an opening, right?
So I had been thinking the same thing too for this meeting, because I agree with you that people are really considerate. Maybe it's the hour, maybe it's the group of people. So to have the board members all unmuted, and then if you're okay with the staff being unmuted, I'll try to behave myself.
Sounds good to me. I think it's going to work great. Now I have a full screen of just Lynn. I'm not quite sure how I got to that point. So, oh, now a full screen of me. Yikes. Okay, so that's going to be the biggest Zoom meeting I've had in terms of numbers of participants is 5 people. So this is going to be a little different.
Well, we're viewing Chandra's screen right now. Did she mean for that to happen?
Right. Our agenda, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And it's CCMA.
That's the mental health board agenda.
Oh, sorry. Thank you for saying that.
So if I don't need the agenda front and center, but would rather see the boxes for all the participants, how do I get back to that?
So I'm going to stop my sharing and
go back.
Yeah, go back.
That's good. Thank you.
That way.
When that happens, it interrupts the typing in the chat. So this is another thing I want people to try not to use the chat for anything other than what we asked, which was your name and title. This is, the chat gets clogged really quickly, and it's a public document. So I'm responding to a private question, but we'll need to not be able to do that in a minute.
Does everyone have their agenda and the board packet at their disposal?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Hi, Gail.
Hello.
Hi, Gail. Hi. I think I saw Sue checking in there somewhere too. And oh, there's yes. Georgiana. Yeah. Hi, Georgiana.
And I'm gonna and Lynn, if you don't mind unmuting Georgina Schuster.
I didn't mute her.
Okay, she came in muted.
Okay, I'm gonna unmute you, Georgiana. Here you go.
Okay, hello there.
Hi, Georgiana.
Hi, good morning.
So we have, from what it looks like, we have a quorum. It's 8:00. Dr. Robin, do you know, was she planning to be in attendance today? Okay. Well, so we could wait another couple of minutes. Does everybody agree, or should we just get started?
We could start.
Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. Good
morning.
Stephanie, could you call us to order, please?
Joe Kennedy.
Here.
Ann Robin. Georgiana Schuster.
Here.
Sue Suter.
I think she might be muted.
Sue Suter?
She is. I unmuted her. So she's unmuted now.
Sue Suter? Sue?
I see her there.
She's pulling up her finger. There she is. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Here. Okay, we have a quorum. The third agenda item is Zoom instructions. I don't know that we need, since we're all connected, right? That was just for FYI, okay?
There's a suggestion in there that might be helpful if we end up having a lot of attendees, which is that to stop sharing video, in order to reduce the use of bandwidth, but I think we're okay right now.
Okay. And for board members who were who joined after, there was a little bit of discussion about mute versus unmuted. I asked before the meeting officially began that all board members be unmuted throughout, and that all staff members also be unmuted so that we can have a better flow. Might be a little bit easier. And then there's a method for participants to just raise their hand as necessary to speak. Well, Stephanie or Chandra's gonna try to watch that really carefully, and so that everybody has a chance to speak. Moving on to item four. I need a motion, or let me just make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Seconded.
Seconded. Discussion? Any additions, questions? Okay.
No.
So the motion is to approve the agenda as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
No? Okay, the agenda is approved. Item five, citizen input, public participation. So.
Danielle Matthews has a question, has her hand raised. You can unmute Danielle.
Oh, I do it?
Danielle can do it.
Oh, Danielle can do it, okay.
I just had a quick question. I don't know if Lynn is gonna address it later, just about our April payment for Community First. We did not receive it.
Did you get my response email that we will be responding in full later?
Okay, I just didn't see an action item to get paid, and so I just wanted to make sure that was.
No, it's not in the board packet. We started talking about it yesterday. The board packet was produced a week ago.
Okay, I did not see your email on that. Thank you.
Okay.
So you don't need board approval, I guess, is what you're saying for that?
I'm working on it. If we need board approval, we might call a special meeting, to try to get that done before May.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about. I didn't want to have to wait till June to get that payment.
Right.
Okay.
Danielle, you can lower your hand now.
Okay. We have 37 participants. That's impressive.
And we have Ann Robin.
That's terrific.
Hi, Ann.
Hi.
Okay, president's comments. I just wanted to make note that I've read the narratives that are attached from all of our providers and or spoken with or listened to agency reps regarding activities during this difficult time. And I want to thank everybody for all of your efforts. I'm really impressed and heartened how much you've all thought outside the box, have made adaptations, and are using all the available resources that you can find to continue to serve the individuals that you serve. And I just personally really appreciate it. So I wanted you all to know that. And the other thing I wanted to do right now is just thank you all for your applications. They appear, for the most part, very similar to the applications that we funded last year, a lot of them. We have one new one. I don't expect to have a lot of questions for you today, any of you, about what you're applying for, because I pretty much know what you're applying for. I guess we can only wait and see how the coronavirus affects what happens next. When we get to the point where we actually have to try to provide services as these applications or programs indicate, because I think we're going to see some changes, obviously, to that. And so, but we can't really know that yet. So, just kind of have to see what shakes out. But thank you all for that. And that was really it for me. So I guess, Lynn, do you have a report for us?
I think that given the amount of material you have to cover today, I want to keep it really short, but I appreciate your very last comment, because that's actually, you know, that's related to the question that Danielle just happened to raise. Like, there are, there are people who really do need services, and we're sort of in this moment of like, if things don't change quickly, how do we serve those people? And the priority so far from the federal and state governments has been to maintain the workforce to the best of our ability. And I think given the increasing workforce challenge over the last decade and a half, two decades, that's a priority of ours too. So I think that it's going to be a really interesting season as we learn to be flexible and to, I don't even know if there's, if innovations are the answer, just straight up, like, how do we safely do in-person services for people who really do need that? So it's been on my heart for the whole time, and I appreciate people thinking about that. And I agree with you, the agency responses in that my 40-page document, there was no reason to edit any of it. It was all really important information, and they put it together for us very quickly, because I thought that it would probably be as important to you all as it is to us. So anyway, I think we should get on with the show.
Okay, very good, thank you. The board meeting minutes from February, because we didn't meet last month, are attached beginning on page 4 going through page 8. I'm just going to make a motion to approve those board meeting minutes as presented.
Second.
Discussion?
No.
Okay. So I, again, the motion is to approve the board meetings as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, board meeting minutes from February are approved. Item 9 is expenditure list. I'll let somebody else talk. Would you like to make a motion?
I'll motion that we approve the expenditures from January and February.
Okay.
And March. I think March is in there also.
Do we have 3? I looked at that.
There are some March yes. Transactions in there.
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
So January, February, March.
Yeah. Is there a second? Second?
Who seconded?
Who seconded? Okay.
Yes.
Discussion.
I thought I had a question. This is Ann Robin, but I'm not leafing through my, what page does the expenditures start on?
They start on page 9.
9, okay.
It's actually February, March. I'm thinking.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's been a little bit awkward for us working, you know, one person in the office at a time. So we missed that. I'm sorry. February and March.
So okay, I see January and February expenditures.
Yeah, in the narrative and underneath on the agenda page, it says January, February, but it really should read February, March, right, Lynn? Is that correct?
That's right. I'm very sorry for that, but the right documents are in the board packet.
Right.
Okay. Well, I see some from January and February also. Is that?
Do you have the? Are you looking at? Are you looking at last month's packet?
No, I'm looking at this month's packet, pages 10 and 11. Well, my question was, some of these things to Walmart and Amazon and Best Buy, are those the mini grants?
They are. Right.
Okay, that was my question.
I see what you're talking about. You're looking at expenses that occurred in January.
Yes.
I'm looking at the top of the list. The title is February, but you're looking at January purchases and
Right.
For the most part, those would be related to, if they say contributions and grants in the
yes.
further comp, then
yes,
that's
they
a
do.
Mini grant. So then those are okay. mini grant related. If they say public relations, which they shouldn't, that some expo purchases were still being made in January, but they wouldn't okay. show up in this list.
Okay. That was my only question, whether those were related to the mini grants. And I see one on page 14 to Russell's Fitness that I assume was also a mini grant.
Yes, that's, it was.
Yeah, you're right.
And the Stevens Family YMCA.
Yes, it was okay. also.
All right. Those were my only questions. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, the motion is to approve the expenditure, the expenditures for February and March as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Okay. Expenditures are approved. New business, item 10. Okay, beginning on page 15 and going through page 17, if there are mini grant update and requests. Several individuals have requested different items, different services than what was approved, or additions to the initial request. Discussion? I'll make a motion. Motion on page 17. There are two, actually. I'll read the first one. The motion is to approve the request from applicant number 35 to purchase an elliptical and exercise bike dual trainer rather than the previously approved gym membership.
Second.
I have a question.
Sure.
The gym membership has not been paid for already, has it?
No.
No.
No. Okay. So I will... Oh. It's already been seconded.
Okay.
So now you can have discussion.
Right. Any other discussion or questions about that?
Yeah, I did have a comment. Given the COVID-19 situation, all of the gym memberships and YMCA memberships and camp scholarships may have to be deferred because these things are currently not happening. And I would be extremely surprised if they would happen even during the summer. And as a parent myself, I would not allow my individual to go to one of those programs, even if it was happening, given the COVID-19 situation. So we may have to revise some of those. And it's not listed on the agenda, but some of those gym memberships and Y memberships and everything may need to be reviewed. I would ask that staff look at those and see what's happening with those, if those are going to be refunded or if they're going to be put into the future, or you know what's going to go on with those. But home activities seems like the best thing to do.
You know, I'm a Y member, and you know, my payment for my Y membership is monthly and it's automatic, and I have gotten from the Y that they want to continue just automatically taking my payment from my checking account each month until, you know, through this time, even though they're closed, because it is helping them pay their staff. So I would agree with you that the use of the Y is, you know, we don't know when that's going to happen, but they are going to continue to take our membership fees each month, and we'll take, you know, anybody's membership fees, applicant number 35's membership fees, even though she or he cannot use the Y.
Right. I want to comment on that. I mean, this is a different situation because these are people that This was a new thing for them. They had never had a membership before, or they did not currently have a membership. And this is a grant. This was the mini grant that we did last year. So this is a brand new thing. And I think some negotiation, obviously, for people that can afford to pay their Y membership, they should definitely continue to do that. And I would if I was doing that. This is a different situation where this is a one-time mini grant and it will expire.
Yes, I agree with you.
Lynn, have we paid for any gym memberships or anything yet? Any gyms or the Y or anything for any individuals?
Kim, do you have information? It was not my impression that we got that far.
We had only
On the expenditure list.
Yeah, there's some expenditures on that list.
Expenditures. I asked about those. Okay.
We had paid for one YMCA membership.
One YMCA.
And Russell's Fitness.
Was a bicycle.
Oh, it was a bicycle. Okay, yeah. Thank you. Okay, so only one YMCA membership.
Has anybody heard whether the Y or any of the fitness, the gyms are planning to extend the date of the membership renewal to fit the time that their facilities are closed? Has anybody heard anything about that?
I have not.
Just to let you know, after your discussion and your motion passes, Patty wanted to share something regarding with camps, Patty Walters.
Regarding camps? Okay.
Yeah, just after your discussion happens and you choose to pass the motion, unless you want to hear about it and it will change the decision.
Okay. All right. So is there any further discussion about the motion to purchase an elliptical and exercise bike rather than the previously approved gym membership?
Not for me.
No. All right. Since this is an expenditure, do we need an individual vote on this, Stephanie?
This is budget neutral, so I'm not sure.
I would like a roll call. Yes.
Okay.
Lynn wants a roll call. Okay.
Please.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
She's mute.
She's unmuted.
Sue Suter? Sue?
Sorry. Yes.
Deb Roush?
Yes.
Gail Kennedy?
Yes.
Okay, so that motion to approve the bike instead of the gym membership is approved. Okay, let's go back and look at 44, what he wants. The second motion is to approve or modify applicant 44's funding as described in the packet. So this person has originally requested $1,840 for the cost of Camp New Hope, which, you know, is that going to happen? And respite weekends. His father asked for reconsideration of the original request to include the Bowflex and the speech therapy. The CCD requested more information, and Dad presented a narrative about it. So that is what the motion actually says. So I'll just make a motion to approve the request from applicant 44 for funding of original request as described in the packet. Is there a second?
I will second the motion.
Thank you, Georgiana. Discussion.
Really, same comment. I mean, I guess the group activities that we were so enthusiastic about are being deferred indefinitely. So home activities seem to be more appropriate.
Right. So I don't even know how the therapies are working right now. speech therapy, you know, really all the therapies. My nephew's a physical therapist and he's doing some telehealth, but no hands-on therapy. So this is a motion that looks like we might have to defer or possibly consider.
Kim has some feedback for you.
Oh, okay.
I know that some speech therapy has gone to telehealth. I would imagine a family would not want to begin speech therapy doing telehealth, but if they already have an established speech therapist, that might actually work better for them, or not work better, but that might actually work out for them to continue with an established provider.
Does this individual, do you know, Kim, if this individual is currently provided speech services and they were looking to expand on that or get extra funding for it, or if this is a new initiative? I think maybe he's just recently transitioned into adult services more and lost his school-based speech. I don't really know the total circumstances.
Seems like he no longer had access to it. I'm not sure if they had a specific provider that he had previously worked with in mind or not.
So I think that he already used the Camp New Hope weekends when things were okay. Isn't that right, Kim?
Wow. Wasn't his,
like, that was
we
approved.
Had not paid for those.
Oh, okay.
They had not, we had not paid for those, but I do have a comment on Camp New Hope if you guys are ready. I know that obviously all of the current sessions have been canceled. The summer has also been canceled. The other family that was previously approved for Camp New Hope, we are working with them to identify weekends during the fall, if at all possible, for them to go back to Camp New Hope, but we have not had any confirmation from Camp New Hope at this time. So that might be something that we bring back to you all later on in the year if we're not able to work out those camps with, or those weekends with Camp New Hope and the family.
So we haven't paid for that then?
No, okay. No, we have not.
So his comment to me was about in the past, he had done it and really liked it. So I would request that you consider this request in full. We don't have to, if you approve us making these purchases, we don't have to make these purchases. And I think that it would be very inappropriate to pay for speech therapy that is impossible to get. So we would not do that, but I would be happy to, this is a really nice person. I would love to talk to him again.
So I guess my personal feeling is that I think he could really benefit from that Bowflex, especially since, you know, he's home-based. Maybe get some more information about the status of his current speech therapy. And, you know, Camp New Hope, if it was supposed to happen during the summer, is obviously off the table. So what's the best way to modify this motion?
Well, I guess I was requesting that you not modify it because it doesn't order us to spend money. It allows us to, if it's appropriate. So if you wanted to add something like, if it's appropriate, then, you know, or pending discussion with the parent, something like that.
Okay.
Is that okay? I believe that when I talk to him, he does have a speech therapist, but he can't, his insurance is changing or something. And
okay. All right.
So it could be really easy, but it also could be a no-go, and in which case we wouldn't spend money on it. So do you want to put a condition like that into it?
Well, it seems like the Camp New Hope piece is, you know, there's no, we don't need to put a condition on it because it's just not going to happen, right?
Right.
And no, I'm perfectly happy to consider providing speech therapy for this person if it's doable. And I think the Bowflex, my opinion is that it could be very helpful for him. Yeah. So I guess
I think we should move to approve this request, and if it's not all spent, it's not all spent. But it's approved for spending.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. So I guess we need a voice vote. Anybody, right?
Right. Anne? Yes.
Oh, I thought that you had, you were going to say something.
No, no.
Okay. Stephanie, would you?
Gail Kennedy?
Agree.
Ann Robin?
Yes.
Georgiana Schuster?
Yes.
Sue Suter?
Yes.
Deb Rouge?
Yes. Okay, motion's approved.
Go ahead, Lynn. I'm sorry.
Yeah, could I ask a question? I feel like you all have touched on this, Ann Robin, at least twice, and just now, Deb, that even if Camp New Hope becomes available, and even if the YMCA does open back up, that some of us might not even see this as a good thing for people for a while, right? Okay. That's something we can deal with later, but I feel like I'm hearing that concern more than once today. Mm-hmm. This is not just about when it's reopened, but if it's going to be safe for our people when things are reopened. So,
okay. Right.
Deb, I didn't know if you wanted to hear from Patty at this time for her about the camps. She said that she has some information.
Sure.
Okay. Thursday. Patty, you can unmute.
Okay, I think
I see it. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. The only thing that I was going to mention is we were approached about 2 weeks ago, not from Camp New Hope, but we have some people that go to Timber Point. And, you know, we questioned the need to fill out the applications for that at this time because of the thing it being delayed. And what they're suggesting is that we go ahead and fill out the applications because, you know, it could be done in the fall or different dates, but what they need to do is be able to gauge interest so that they can attempt to staff those in the event that there's enough interest to support it once we get past this circumstance. So I don't think they're talking about having camp the second the shelter in place order is lifted, but whether or not there would be any interest, there was encouragement to have people enroll, and there's no money invested at that time. They said that the money would have, you know, be paid 2 weeks prior to camp if they were going to go through with its established dates and had the interest. So I think they're talking about being really flexible with dates and just whether or not they have the capacity and a staffing pattern to support the interest that may or may not be there when this is resolved. So that's all I wanted to share.
I just have one question about that, Patty. Say they decide that it's, you know, generally people feel it's safe in September to go, just as an example, and the application's been made. Does the parent, guardian of the individuals and, you know, specific individuals have the right then to kind of back out and without committing to, if they feel it's not safe enough for their particular loved one to go?
Of course. Of course. And I think that's the reason for that they're not collecting money. You know, they're not looking to, you know, reserve spots with money. It's just they're really trying to measure interest that if things, you know, at some point return to some sense of normalcy that that they would be able to support the interest.
And it would be about two weeks in advance of the camp then that they would pay.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what that particular camp has shared with us.
Okay.
Deb, also Ann Robin has her hand raised.
Hi, Ann.
Oh, okay. I want to speak very briefly as your public health physician. And some of this is a little theoretical because we don't really have these things in place yet, but thinking about how things are going to open up safely, my understanding of it is that it will depend very much on the availability of widespread testing, easy testing. People can get testing on an as-needed basis rather than what we have now, which is very spotty, although I guess it's getting better. And then contact tracing, which is the way that public health has always done infectious diseases and is an effective way of doing it. So if that is in place by the fall, then it could be safe for people to do things like Camp New Hope and Timber Point and Stevens Family YMCA. And I would suggest that just for our own knowledge and information, I will try to stay on top of that as much as I can. And I'll share it with the group as information becomes available. The information so far is that testing has been inadequate, to put it mildly. We're hoping that that situation is going to be changing. And I'm hearing some things about it that sound positive. I've actually got two meetings later this week, one Illinois Department of Public Health and the other American Public Health Association, that are both going to be discussing testing, what's going to be happening in the near future. But we're talking about over the summer, over the fall, as things open up, that's going to be really, really key. And then we can be kind of, you know, not completely assured, but much, much more assured than we are now, that it'll be safe for people to be in group situations. And then the other thing, from the public health point of view, when we're talking about people with special needs and disabilities, is teaching hygiene. Because all children are very bad at hygiene. Most adults are very bad at hygiene. And people with disabilities are just as capable of learning hygiene as anybody else. And maybe we should be working with some of our agencies and people and educators, how to have specific, how to wash your hands, how to not touch your face, how to put on a mask, how to take off a mask, all of that sort of thing, for our individuals and our groups.
Good idea. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
So I think that, given all of that, it does sound like a conversation with the Y about the one membership that we purchased is really in order, especially since Jordana's experience is they want to keep their money. Mm-hmm. So we will we'll look into that. I think, you know, we can make the case that our circumstance is very special.
And I just want to thank you. That's very helpful that you keep us updated. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, item B, the agency requests for IDD funding for FY 2021 begin on page 18. They go through page 76. And this is the time for questions, if you have them, board members. The list of the applicants and the amount that's requested versus what was requested last year, and there's one case of a new applicant again, are all listed on page 18. And the narratives, the application program summaries begin on page 19. Will we go application by application? Let me just ask if there are board members that have specific questions about each application. Are there board members that have questions about specific applications and program summaries?
I just have one question.
Okay, Sue.
Oh, okay. The actually the first one under linkage, regional planning, the decrease of 27%. I don't know if I understood the reasoning for that correctly.
So Kim, do you want to answer that? I don't know if the agency is here.
The agency is okay. Here. Sue would rather hear from them.
Well, then let's let them answer it.
Hi, I'm Katie Harmon from Regional Planning Commission. So the decrease is related to the hiring of staff. So our staff who are doing person-centered planning, they all have a capacity of about a 45-person caseload. So this fiscal year, we actually didn't hire one staff because there wasn't enough clients to serve. To support that position. So the number of staff we hire to do the person-centered planning is directly related to the number of clients who are receiving DDB-funded services. So that's why the decrease. So we will continue with the staff we have now. We didn't fill that one position that initially we thought we would have enough clients to support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, any other questions related to linkage? Let's just take them as a group, I guess. We have, what, four applications in that particular priority?
I didn't raise my hand, but yes, similar question. I'm kind of going down in the ones that have a big increase or decrease I want to discuss. So community choices. And I'm guessing that the answer is that they've added another staff person with that significant increase.
So you're talking about the on page 28? No.
I'm talking about on page 18.
I'm just looking at the numbers.
That is, and you are correct. That is an increase related to at the top of the year, we lost an agency, which was providing.
Okay. So that relates to that. Okay.
And they didn't take on everyone. They took on a subset of those people.
Okay.
And then this is to, the agency's here. They can answer.
So I'm happy to speak to that. This is Becca Okachowski with Community Choices. So this is for our customized employment program. We were around December, January, we did take on about half of the clients that were left without support when the other provider left. So we were actually able to increase our staff capacity by a half position. For this fiscal year, and then for the, we have asked for an additional increase to hire another full-time staff person. So,
okay,
the start of FY20, it's about two staff people as an increase to that. So that sort of accounts for the vast majority of the funding increase request there. We found that. As we continue to add staff, we continue to have a wait list for people looking for those type of supports. So this was just kind of looking to increase just general community capacity in that area.
Dr. Kennedy? Nope. I thought she was raising her hand or something, but she's didn't. Okay. Board members, any other questions directly related to dollars as it's presented on page 18 in the grid, or specifically about each program's summary narrative that follows?
I just want to thank the staff. Those were really very comprehensive summaries and write-ups. Thank you.
Echo that. And having the summary on page 18 is very, very readable even to me, and very helpful. Thank you.
Great.
So that is all. Thank you, Kim Bowdry.
Thank you, Kim.
Georgiana?
Yes.
Oh, I thought you were lit up, so I thought you were you had a question or
commenting. No. I just agree with what's been said that the write-ups were very thorough and the summary was excellent. A nice layout, a nice way to present the figures.
Okay, great.
So in the program summaries, you'll see also very substantial input from Chandra and Chris Wilson. So Kim brought it all together and she did the lion's share of she prepared this really easy to read per priority spreadsheet and then organized the rest of us. She got a lot of input from the rest of us. and still kept those program summaries pretty brief. So I that was.
Well, I know how much work that is every year to do that. That is a lot of work. So
yeah,
appreciate it as well. Thank you.
I do have a question, kind of a just a big question since I'm a newbie. What is the deadline for agencies putting in funding requests?
February 7th, was it? This past year or first week in February, sometime generally, Georgiana, and I think it was the 7th this past year, right?
And then once these requests are in and approved, I imagine, like everything, we have to have some flexibility because things change. Is that right? That sometimes things will change.
Especially this year.
Yeah.
That's just it. We have applications for the bulk of the, you know, the service delivery on these, on anything that we fund this year is probably not going to look a whole lot like it's written in the applications.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, all we can do is plan for best case scenario and plan that our providers are going to be doing the most and best that they can with the funds that they're allocated and just kind of see as we go, right?
So I had some anxiety about this very thing late yesterday, and I was assured because some of the people in this on this team have been doing it a long time. This is true every year. The circumstance that agencies are experiencing in January, which is the bulk of the time they have to write an application, is already really different by July. So there's a period of time, if you are able to authorize a set of recommendations for funding, so decisions for which contracts to fund and at which amounts, then we like to have a few weeks in June to work with the agencies on exactly that thing, like where there have been changes. They have an opportunity to go back in and make changes in the application. It's especially important because so many are co-funded by United Way or the state. And those are really dynamic funders too. So the team reminded me late yesterday that we already know how to do this. I was very worried because, as you say, we are in uncharted territory and we may need to be checking in with the agencies much more often about what's happening with their services and the people they serve and their staff. But we can do it. So I feel a little comfortable that we have the processes in place. It just may take a little bit more time and attention than in the past.
Lynn, when does the county board vote on our budget? Is it in June, May?
Is it August or something?
November.
November.
So November? We start guessing. I know how much money we're expected to collect in 2020. It's also important to know we have not collected any tax revenue so far in 2020. So what we have in the bank is what we have. So if we get to May and there's no tax deposits or no distribution of the first tax payments, then we have a little bit of a problem, which we had last year, which is, you know, we may not have enough money to pay the bills. Last year, the DD board borrowed money from the mental health board and it was fine. So we made it through with that. That's not a great solution each year. The tax bills, if they're late again, we know how much money we expect to receive, even if the bills are paid late, but we may not get 100% collection. We normally get 99% of what's billed. That may not happen this year. So even within 2020, about which we have some certainty, we don't have a lot of certainty. So I think what Deb said is a great overarching approach. We'll plan for the best case scenario. We have things in place in the contracts. We have practices that we know how to implement. If things start to go south and we're not getting as much money as expected, we will be able to very gently decrease funding or redirect funding as needed. So, and I'm trying to pay attention to opportunities for federal financial relief for our agencies. Right now, nonprofits are in a really great position to capture economic relief. The county itself is not. Counties do not, they're not eligible for any economic relief, only for things like, important things, like free testing, but no money to make up the shortfalls. So counties as funders and providers of services and employers are also facing a crisis. So I would very strongly encourage our agencies to seek other funding, you know, especially related to the crisis, just to stabilize in case we run into a shortfall. But let's plan for the best.
Okay. Anybody, any further questions about any of the program summaries?
This is Chandra. I just wanted to, are you talking about just in this area or all of them?
All of them.
Okay. I just wanted to note that CU Able had not turned in their second quarter CLC report, but they did end up turning it in.
All right.
Although it was after the deadline. I just wanted to make sure that you were aware of that.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Do you think that there's been a little bit of a difficulty from the way of staff? It's pretty much a parent organization, right? So
Yeah, it was fine. It was just an oversight.
Oh, an oversight. Okay.
Yeah, it was an oversight. Because it was an oversight. So they submitted it and it was a new format this year. So it was fine.
All good, right? Okay, yeah. Thank you, Chandra.
Uh-huh.
Okay, beginning on page 77, this is item C under new business. We have the COVID-19 agency updates, and I've already spoken a little bit about that, how personally I'm grateful that we have this information that our agencies have provided for us, how much I appreciate everything you are all doing to help the individuals you serve the best way you can right now. That's all I really wanted to say about that again. And any comments about that? Anybody else?
Just amen.
Hey.
As I mentioned earlier, the agencies provided us with all of this information in a very short turnaround time. I appreciated that so much. And they did a great job. Maybe they were already thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. Also, Deb, Diane Gordon had her hand raised.
Okay.
Yeah. Diane, are you still there?
Yeah, I was just going to simply respond to the oversight on the cultural competency forms that we didn't send in. So you already covered it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Item D is on page 117 to 120. Yet another eye-opening story about the difficulties individuals with disabilities face. And it's really interesting. I really didn't know the state of Wisconsin had this IRIS program. I think there's a little bit of controversy around it, according to the article. But the self-direction aspects of using funding and being able to personally be involved more as parents or guardians, along with an individual, to really purchase equipment, staff, services in general that meet an individual's need is a really great idea if it's manageable. And it seems like there's a little smoke around the Wisconsin initiative, but overall it seems, you know, according to the article, their costs are a lot lower, right?
Right. And I think, Deb, I think that was a little bit of what we were trying to get to with the mini grant.
Right. Right. Anybody else? Okay. Item E, the DSC letter from Danielle. This is related, this is page 121. And this regard, you know, Lynn touched on this briefly that, you know, who knows what's going to happen with United Way and some of these other organizations. And it was a request for the DVB to be a match, right, mm-hmm. for the funding. Daniel, can you elaborate on that, or Lynn, a little bit more for us?
If Danielle doesn't mind, that I would,
sure. Yeah. Sure, you. I mean, it's funding that we already receive. It's just to use it in the application as the match.
Okay. Any questions about that? Comments? Okay, thank you. Item F is board direction. Anybody have anything? Any direction? You want to pick something and hope it happens kind of discussion? Okay, G, success is another agency information.
Anne had her hand raised
before we move forward. I'm sorry, Anne, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I just had a comment about item E. I was just a little bit delayed on that. I guess there's not any necessity for us to say yay or nay on that, but I would like to go on record as saying definitely approving this happening. And I think this is an example of the kind of flexibility that Lynn was talking about that we're going to need to do with all these changing circumstances. The overarching goal that I'm keeping in my mind for thinking about any funding is how can we support the agencies and the providers of services as much as possible to keep all of their staff going and to keep their doors ready to open as soon as the time comes. So that's my comment.
Thank you.
And next we have Diane Gordon under agency successes.
Yes, Diane. Hi.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right. Good morning. I just wanted to fill you in on a few things that we've been doing recently that I think are new to our program this year and might answer some questions that were also in our grant request about, like, that there was some question about our surplus in our budget and so forth. So a program that we just started this year, and we're kind of trying to figure out the accounting for it, and I've talked to Chris a little bit about it at the DD board, is that we are partnering with Walmart to do some giveaways. So basically everything that comes to currently the Walmart in Urbana as returns that they can't send back to their manufacturers, they donate to us as CU Able. And then we turn around and donate it to the community, to the CU Able community. And that has been, it was a great success up until, you know, recently, where Walmart's not taking returns. So we were able to donate things like clothing. We had hundreds of pair of underwear, which was kind of a shock, and went, so people were so thankful for that. We had a lot of space heaters for the winter. We had a baby seat, I mean, some pretty big ticket items. So those we're accounting for as in-kind donations right now, and that's where that huge surplus of the $6,000 and $76,000 comes from. So I wanted to make sure that you guys were aware that that's not cash that we're running through CU Able, this little volunteer organization. It is strictly donations from Walmart that are really going right back out into the community, and they have been really well received. And we hope to be able to start that program back up pretty soon.
That's great. How did you even figure out how to do that or approach Walmart about that?
So there's a group that we work with called Good 360, And they work with nonprofit organizations throughout the country. And they were doing a test run. They were trying to find out different ways to get products out into the community or get funding out into the community. And we worked with them on our diaper program too as well. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but we did. We were able to get low cost diapers and wipes for our members for a couple of years, and that program has ended now. They were partnering with Walmart and trying to get a program, a way to, I'm sure, help Walmart with their tax issues and whatever. So we were one of their first trials in this area, and so far it's been pretty successful. So we also worked with Good 360 just recently over the last couple of weeks, and were able to get antiseptic wipes out to our community. So we're able to deliver about 400 packets of antiseptic wipes out into the CU Able community this recent weekend. Yeah, thanks, Lynn. So we were pretty excited about that. We were like, Meredith sits there and watches their website, and as soon as something pops, she's like, order it.
So good.
So yeah, those are just some of the things that we've been doing. And also during the COVID crisis, we started, instead of doing our worry. Yeah. Okay, I'll be over in just a minute. Let me finish, okay? So real life here. So this is my daughter Rory.
It's good to meet you.
Yeah, these are old friends. Yeah.
Thanks for coming to our meeting.
Yeah.
It's not nearly as exciting as reading The Chocolate Man. So the other thing that we've been doing is we turned our parental meetings into Zoom meetings, and instead of doing them monthly, we've been doing them weekly, and I was surprised that we seem to be getting more people coming in every week rather than fewer people coming in every week. So there's definitely a need for people out there to be connecting and talking with people. So we're glad to be able to do that.
And that's our cat over there.
Thank you. Yeah. Are you going to come join the meeting too, Cannoli? Okay. That's all I had. I'm going to get her into school. Any questions for me?
That's great partnership, Diane.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Come on.
Okay.
There are no more hand raised. I think Georgina may have something to say. Oh, and then actually Becca Obachowski is next.
Okay. Diane, who was just speaking, I wanted to get the name of her organization.
She's from CU Able.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Becca's next. Go ahead, Becca.
I wrote about it a bit in our response to everything that's going on. But I thought I would just comment on it to hear sort of in person. Just kind of some of the things we've been doing since we're not able to do much of what we normally do, since so much of it does happen in the community and kind of depends on the community functioning in a typical way, which it is not. But one of the things we were really worried about when this all started was the participants that we work with and having some sort of routine. I think we all feel a bit, you know, knocked off our base without a regular set of things to do. And so we were able to begin offering three Zoom sessions to all of our members every day. One of which is just a kind of quick check-in in the morning, see how everybody's doing, pretty informal, and then having two afternoon sessions for about an hour that are focusing on either sort of practicing a skill at home, doing something fun. We've sort of moved our job club into that format. We've moved our family support group into that format too, and sort of increased the frequency that we've been doing that. Also, just knowing that people are not having access to some of the, like Diane said, some of the other sort of in-person connections that they are typically able to do. So that, and we have also found that as we've gone into this longer, we're getting more and more people attending those. So the first few weeks of those sessions, I think we probably had, you know, between 6 and 8 people coming to each one. And I think yesterday we had close to 13 at all of them. So I think people are really really, you know, looking for friendly faces and someone else to talk to. So it's been a really interesting sort of learning experience to sort of helping people use a new tool. And I think folks are actually being amazingly adaptive with it. And so that was definitely, it has felt like a success and a really interesting learning opportunity for us too. So, and it's interesting to see us all learning in that same way also, because I am right there along with them.
Okay, next we have Patty Walters. She has her hand raised.
Patty?
I learned how to raise my hand while we were on the meeting. The only thing I was going to mention, I think Annette wrote about it in part of the summary, but we have 27 people that are still working from our community employment program that are continuing to either work independently or with support from the employment specialists. Two live in our CILAs, but the rest either live on their own or with family. And I just thought it was worth the shout out that we have so many people that are considered essential workers during this time that people with disabilities. So that feels really good.
All right, you're good.
There are no more hands raised.
Just quickly, Patty, how many people were there in total who were working? You said there are 27 still working. How many
did you? That's a good question. Annette, are you on the line to be able to answer that question better than me?
I think I'm on.
Yeah, we hear you. Thanks.
Okay, great. Typically, I don't have the number right in front of me. I can get that, but it would be probably around 40 people.
Okay, I just wondered. And so those other 13, by and large, weren't considered essential workers, so they were kind of furloughed or laid off, I'm assuming.
Correct. Yes, a lot of the people who lost their jobs were either in a service industry like food service or clothing and merchandise.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And just to pop in, I think one of the things that has been new that we've been learning is trying to access unemployment benefits for people under that scenario. We've been successful with a few and not with a few, so still kind of navigating that challenge. And because they, you know, it depends on the number of hours worked and difference between furlough and layoff. And, you know, there's some real complexities to that we have not been accustomed to, other than given this new normal for now.
Thank you. Anybody else? Okay. Item
11. Oh, and I raised my hand the old-fashioned way. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I watched y'all have fashion hands.
I'm glad Chandra is a good monitor here. I just wanted to add that I'm not sure if your people are working for local employers who would qualify for the Small Business Administration relief money. There are a couple of different programs, and as you know, that money was spent within just a few days of the fund being established. And yesterday the Senate approved adding a substantial amount of money for small businesses to that. And today it's in the House. One of the big problems with that bill, and the reason there's been so much arguing about it, is that it doesn't include states and local governments as employers for any relief. There are other problems that have been debated, but if that happens again and your people work for employers who applied before and didn't get anything, or if you did and didn't get anything, I still don't know if you have to reapply, but I do know that the SBA website got hacked and everyone's info was stolen.
Oh.
So people got no relief and now they're vulnerable. So I'm not sure. I think we'll be seeing a lot of news about that program in the coming days. And one thing that hopefully agencies are in a good position to do is do a little extra case management, or, you know, like the kind of work that your job developers might do, you know, with helping other people understand these programs and access them, because they do serve our clients. So anyway, just a pitch, watch the news.
Yesterday's bill was the $488 million. Is that?
Yeah, and it's probably going to pass. Yeah.
Okay, old business. The DDB and MHB schedules and the DDB timeline are presented on pages 122 through 125. The R acronyms and glossary is on pages 126 to 133. I guess, is Mark here? If Mark has any MHB input, we would appreciate hearing it. Or Lynn in his stead.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah, hi, good morning. No picture for me today. The Mental Health Board has a similar agenda to the DD Board. We'll be talking about the agency's response to the COVID, how they're managing and continuing to engage with clients as best they can. And then we'll be getting into the program summaries. We have, similar to the DD Board, a little over 20 program summaries to go through. The Mental Health Board also, by state statute, is required to do an annual report. It was on our agenda for March, but because the meeting was canceled, that's being brought back. And then I seem to be missing something off the top of my head. Lynn, do you recall? Am I got anything?
I think
those are the main things.
But yeah.
There may be one or two other items that I've skipped my mind, but for the most part, we're following a similar agenda as the DD Board at this point. We will also have a study session next Wednesday, which will continue our discussion of the program summaries. So,
okay. So could I add, there are two program summaries which appear in front of the DD Board today and in front of the Mental Health Board tonight. And those are the two. This year, the Mental Health Board was very specific in their priorities that they had a really strong interest in continuing to support the programs that are related to early childhood and early intervention. So they are looking at both of the program summaries related to that population, just as you are. And the next time you all meet, unless we need to have a special meeting, which we could, and I feel happy about the way this meeting has gone, so I'm a little less terrified about, if you want special meetings, I think we may be able to handle it. But the next meeting scheduled is the meeting where we will present you with recommendations from us about what to fund. And that will include a recommendation about those two early childhood related programs. I'm pretty sure we're going to be recommending that you not fund them and that the Mental Health Board does fund them, at least partially, if not in full. So, you know, between now and probably May 13th, if any of you notice anything or have ideas about applications and you would like to talk to us about recommendations that we're working on, I'm very happy to have those conversations. It's always helpful to hear what board members are thinking about. So.
And Sue had her hand raised earlier. She lowered it, but I'm not sure if she had something else to say.
Thank you, Chandra. Mm-hmm. I also just figured out how to do that without doing it physically. The meeting, the mental health meeting, is there a limit to how many people can be in the Zoom meeting?
Oh, you know what? Technically, this account that we purchased will only hold 100 participants. I just never thought we'd have that many people at a board meeting, but it could happen. I think if you DD board members wanted to attend mental health board meeting or vice versa, we'll make room.
Okay, thank you. That was, I just didn't want to take up space.
No, I can upgrade
somebody who
the
would
account.
Be more involved.
No, that if we hit 100, I think I can upgrade the account while we're on the meeting.
Whoa.
So, I think so. Well, I'll find out.
Rules of technology.
It would be a great problem to have. I'll deal with it if that happens. I think if you all want to jump into that meeting, that's great. Same with the agency participants.
Georgiana, I see your what time. Did you have a comment, Georgiana?
I just want to ask, what time is the mental health meeting today?
5:45.
Okay.
If you want me to put that agenda into the link, into the chat here, I can do it. I learned how.
We have these new skills we never needed before.
And I must confess, I've had a lot of coaching since probably 7 o'clock last night. A lot of help with all this. Okay. I will put that in the chat to everyone in case people are interested in being at the mental health board meeting. That's the full packet in the link.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. Item 13, staff reports, they are deferred. Board announcements. We've talked about MHB. We know what we're doing, what we are doing next. Anything else? Anybody, Lynn, is there anything else we need to announce?
I think I would like to send you all a link to the Zoom for tonight too.
Didn't you send us a link to that already?
Yeah, I'm feeling that I want to put it in this in the chat bar so that it's easier for the agencies also to join us. So I'm looking for it. Here we go. Okay. There's the link to that meeting.
Okay.
So, no, I don't have anything else. Thank you so much. This was a much smoother experience than I was thinking about. So.
Thank you very much to our wonderful staff, to our fabulous providers.
And Sue has her hand raised.
I just wanted to say that the Disability Expo Steering Committee met last week, and we're planning on the expo in October. I can't remember the date, but
October 10. Obviously,
pardon?
October 10.
Thanks, Lynn. Obviously, we have to just play it by ear, but tentatively, that's what we're talking about.
We have two weddings that day, not one, two. One in Carbondale and one in Schaumburg.
Oh, good luck, Deb.
Yeah, who knows if either of them will happen. My son's wedding was canceled, so, you know.
We can't have weddings, we might not be able to have an in-person expo, so... I think Chandra's done some research on how we might do a virtual expo. And I know one of the other steering committee members was interested in that. So Sue Suter, I don't know how you feel about it, but maybe we need to plan for two different tracks just in case.
I agree. That's great, Chandra, that you're looking into that. I think we absolutely need to.
Yeah, it's a couple of options that are out there, so just researching it.
Good.
Okay. I think anybody else? I think we are adjourned. Everybody, thank you very much, and you all have a great day at home.
Thank you.
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 Thank you. Thank you.